something that we're all trained to do from the very beginning, right here at KBOO. They train us. And so it's something you can do too. And please continue your long and wonderful support of KBOO. That's all for today.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Up next, Air Cascadia.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, August 28th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.fm on the web. Today's guest is going to be Dr. Carolyn Carlson. She has done some really breathtaking, earth-shaking work on the government's creeping war on journalists. Anyone in the trade who hasn't felt it thus far really is not paying attention. She's going to be talking about some of her investigations, her work on the topic. Congress, to return to the center of the universe, is actually going to finally do something, make some sort of move on the fact that is Ferguson. That we all recognize as a national disgrace. And when I say we, I mean the world. The world is watching. And it's certainly after, if after the invasion of Iraq, after everything that the U.S. has done and not done, and I mean by that Rwanda, around the world, if the rest of the world hasn't seen clearly just exactly what America is stripped of the PR campaign, well then Ferguson definitely has done it. This is not, we aren't talking about race here. We're talking about slavery. Economic slavery, social slavery. Slavery is never mind racism. Slavery is alive and well. It's okay to treat certain people in ways that are inhuman because society has collectively and silently decided that they are inhuman. That said, 42nd Street in Springfield closed for hours after a trailer fell down and dumped a 69-ton unit that it was hauling. You may have seen some of these things go by. For the past 3 weeks, more than 1,800 miles, these huge turbines have been on the back of the semi-trailer. It managed to fall off of its trailer after 1,800 miles, one block from its destination yesterday. It shut down Springfield Street for hours. State Department of Transportation closed everything off. And more on that, but after nearly 2,000 miles, it falls off, this thing falls off the off the track a block from where it's supposed to be. President Obama has authorized surveillance flights over Syria. And we are pretty much teetering on the edge of another, the inane, expensive, terrifying war. On the bright side, maybe it'll keep some of the military ordnance off the U.S. streets and out of the hands of cops who may not know how to use it, unless, of course, they've been trained by the Israeli Defense Forces, which many of them have. The Israeli Defense Forces are only too familiar with the use and abuse of American ordnance. And after delaying the work on the Israeli freight ship Zim Chicago at the port of Tacoma, local human rights activists have learned that they've also delayed the arrival of the Zim Chicago in the port of Seattle for another full day. We have more headlines here, but it is far more important right now to talk about the creeping war on journalists. And the one to talk about that is our guest this morning, Dr. Carolyn Carlson. Good morning, Dr. Carlson. Thank you so much for joining us today.
How are you?
We're well, thanks. Those of us in journalism are fascinated with this work. We've seen it. It's become overseas one of the most dangerous jobs a person could have. We've seen repeated instances of journalists losing their lives in the line of duty, as it were, more to journalists than certainly to soldiers. I say thanks for your service, but you've done some heavy lifting in this area. You write that the state's move to hide details of government deals with Wall Street. Politicians are coming up with new arguments to defend secrecy. Talk a little bit about some of what you have encountered in your studies, some of the details of what are some of the deals that...
I'll be glad to talk about that. What I've done is I have surveyed government public information officers and reporters who cover government to determine what is happening with the government's effort to control the media. And what I've found is that it's increasing and has increased dramatically over the last few years. It's increased a good bit under the Obama administration. The latest study that I did determined that the greatest amount of control is happening at the federal level. Both the public information officers agree that they are at the federal level are the most interested in controlling the media message, and the reporters who cover the federal government are the most frustrated of the reporters who cover government. There is efforts at the state and local level to control the media message, but it's mostly concentrated at the federal level.
So we are right now waiting to see what the fate of James Ryson is likely to be. John Kiriakou is still in prison, and we are treated on a daily basis to the huffings and puffings of Frank Luntz and his words that work. It seems that certain journalists are given free rein and much more when it comes to feeding the public a line of getting a message across when you have a public which is largely either utterly apathetic or disinterested and says things like, oh, I'm not interested in politics, to which of course we say politics is interested in you, of course, but cutting through some of that and restoring the craft of journalism to its rightful place, its role in a free society, up against the likes of Frank Luntz and so forth. What are we to do?
That's why reporters are telling me that they're so frustrated, is that they're trying to get through to the public, and they're being hampered to a certain extent by the people who are supposed to be helping them, and that's the public information officers for the government agencies that they're covering. Instead of providing them with information They're trying to control what they write. And some of these efforts at media control are things like they're determining who can talk to the media and sometimes restricting who can talk to the media to people like just the director of the agency can talk to the media, no one else. And then they'll sit in on the meeting and on the interview, and if they don't like the answers, they'll interrupt and tell them what they think the answer ought to be. So, and if they don't like the way they've written the story, they'll ban the reporter from ever reporting on interviewing anybody else at the department ever again. So, and the public information officers I interviewed said this is their tactics. This is what they do. And they agree that this is the best practices that they think they ought to be doing, because they think their number one role is not to make sure that the public is getting the information they need about the government, but that the public is getting good news about the government. And their role is to make sure that they're only getting good news.
So how do journalists work around this? People do have a tendency to find workarounds in these types of oppressive situations.
Well, it explains why there's a growing use of anonymous sources. The only way that they can talk to some people in the government is to deal with whistleblowers, people who are willing and courageous enough to talk to the reporters, even though they're threatened with losing their jobs if they do. Because it's not unusual for government agencies to tell their employees that they can't talk to reporters, and if they do hear from a reporter, they're supposed to tell them to contact the public affairs office, and they're supposed to hang up and not talk to them. And there are some people in government who are public servants who think that's wrong and are willing to talk to the reporters, but in order to save their jobs, they can only do it by talking anonymously.
You also write that in recent years, there have been signs that the federal government's reducing the flow of public information. Apart from what you've just talked about, is there anything else any other signs of this tendency that you want to bring up? There have been people have experienced difficulties in filing Freedom of Information Act requests, and in some cases, the materials actually sheltered from these requests. You can't get it at all. I don't understand. And again, in the context of what we laughingly call a free society, how the government can justify legally or morally these types of activities.
In our surveys, and we're continuing to ask these questions, but in our surveys we found that 2/3 of the reporters are asking for information and they're not getting the information that they asked for, or they're getting it late, or well after they're supposed to, by law, have received the information, or what they're getting is the wrong information, or they're not getting it at all. And even though they're asking for clearly public records, they're being told that the information they're seeking is not public records. So there's obstructionists involved in trying to obtain public records. It's a problem nationwide. This is not something that's happening just in Washington. Is happening everywhere, but it's acutely happening at the federal level.
Just in the minute we have left, I wanted to invite you to tell readers one example. You mentioned Chicago, officials in Mayor Rahm Emanuel's administration, and you mentioned also an instance in Rhode Island with Democratic State Treasurer Gina Raimondo. Can you briefly describe the one or the other, and or perhaps something else that you find particularly egregious?
Well, I can tell you of a personal experience I had with an agency here in Georgia, where the only person who was authorized to speak to the public was the head of the agency, and the head of the agency was never available to speak to the to the reporters. If you wanted information from this agency, all you could do is ask the question to the public relations person, the public information officer, who would turn the question over to the attorneys for the agency, who would take weeks to answer it, and usually they would give you an answer that wasn't the answer to the question you asked.
Dr. Carlson,
that's the information.
Absolutely. It would be funny if it weren't so serious. We're completely out of time. I'd like to make it possible for listeners to follow up on this and find out more about your study. Where can they go to get that info?
SPJ.org, www.spj.org.
And we've got all that stuff. We'll put that up on the KBOO website. I am very, very grateful indeed for you to take the time to talk with us today. My guest, of course, has been Dr. Carolyn Carlson with Kennesaw State University in Georgia. Thanks again for that, Dr. Carlson. This has been Erica Cascadia for Thursday, August 28th, 2014. Kirsten Nout, engineer of the show today. Thanks for that, Kirsten. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stab. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Your radio dial on Thursday afternoons from noon until 2. 90.7 FM is the place to be. Twice a month, DJ Charlie presents the World Beat Connection with the hottest Afro-Caribbean sounds in Portland radio land. Reggae, salsa, soca, New Orleans Afro-funk, Haitian compa and rara, and Antillean zouk share the airwaves with African high life. Afrobeat, Congolese